Morning.
Rabbi Menachem Schreiber.
Hi, good morning. Thank you everybody for bearing with me. I'm away from Whitefield. I left, let's say, at 7:45, and I figured it would be ample time to get here for 9:10. I left my car on some random side road that I shouldn't have gone down. So today's learning, Birch Shem, should be discussed. All of our cars being intact by the days and weeks end. Now, we know the very famous halacha, which is that there are several days of the year where it's usher to fast. And one of those days is the day of Purim. But I'd like to suggest that if not for this halacha, I want to pose an argument to potentially, make Purim a fast day. Why? Well, let's think about the heroine of our story, which is Esther, right? Esther, perhaps one of the most moving psukim in all of the Megillah, which is said in Tfilas Eicha, Esther says to Mordechai, Kasher avaditi, avaditi. Right? And she's saying that my act of going in willfully to Achashverosh is going to be an act akin to that of Znus. And we know that Znus asers the Boil and the Baal. And she says, by going into Achashverosh, I now become usher to you, my husband, Mordechai. Mordechai insists, the Jewish people, the time for salvation is now. And she says, okay, I'm going to go in after the 3 days of Tanis, but I'm going to be lost forever to you. So an orphan loses her father before she's born, loses her mother at childbirth, and she now loses the only family she's ever known, Mordechai. And that's the end of the story. Esther never goes back. The Torah teaches us with sensitivities to others, and there are many recountings of sensitivities even to inanimate objects, so that we are sensitive to our fellow human beings. So I want to argue and pose that perhaps Purim should be a serious day. I know that there is a Yeshua for the Jewish people, but at the same time, at what cost, right? The shliach of our salvation is lost forever. She stays in the palace for all her life, which to her, she's a tzedekah, so that's considered a punishment. Maybe some of us would feel differently. But she loses everything. And there's a sensitivity. Maybe Purim should be a day of Tanis. And I know we have Tanis Esther, but according to some Rishonim, I believe it's the Ran, who says that Tanis Esther is in fact perhaps a joyous Tanis, so to speak. That the Gemara says that Yud Gimel, right, is a Zman that you don't even need a Riboy in the Pasuk to include as a potential time to lay in the Megillah. Because it's a day that we in fact celebrate the fact that the Jewish people can daven, and we have an Abishter, we have a God who listens and who saves us. So it's a joyous Tanis. And it seems to be that we've completely turned our back and forgotten the sacrifice that Esther has made. So Purim should be a serious day. Perhaps a fast day. And if you don't agree with me to that extent, then maybe it should be a day where we have certain solemn aspects of the day. Right? A moment of silence, whatever, right? Some acknowledgement of the sacrifice that she made. But we find on the contrary, Purim's a day of simcha, unbridled joy. To the extent that we have the mitzvah of drinking, right? Adelo yada, right? Which we don't find a concept like this any other yontif. The Rambam, when he writes the Samachta b'chagecha, which is the mitzvah of simcha on a regular chag, notes that Basin would appoint shaitrim, police officers who would patrol around the Gines and Pardesim, make sure that people weren't taking the drinking too far. That it was staying within a certain medium, that there was a decorum. People were in control of their das and their seichel. And we find lehepach, on Purim, there's a kind of drinking adala yada. No seichel, no das, unbridled joy in simcha. So again, I mean, number one, it sounds like we're forgetting about Esther and her sacrifice. And number two, the concept of drinking adla yada sounds contrary to Yahadus, to what the Torah wants of you. The Torah requires us to always be in control of our seichel.
We have Tanis Esther because of that. The reason why Tanis Esther is
true. Tanis Esther is more, as we were saying, I believe it's the Ran. It's one of the Rishonim there. And Yud Gimel Zman Kiel Lekolhi says that the aspect of fasting is more of a commemoration, commemorating the fact that the Jewish people davened, they fasted, and they were saved. So it's almost a tanis shel simcha, so to speak. So why shouldn't Purim be a day of certain solemnity? In fact, we find the opposite. And the concept of Adla Yada, again, is keneged, seemingly, what the Torah and Chazal want of us on a daily basis. So why now? So I'm going to attempt in the limited time, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut everybody short, because I know that we're late, and prepared a little bit of a longer shir. So I'm happy to take any comments afterwards if people are around. So the concept of Adla Yada, I want to talk about that for a few minutes. So to begin to address these questions, I want to take a step back and I want to talk about Parshas HaChodesh. Okay? HaChodesh is Eilachem. Rosh HaChodeshim, okay? Right? This month should be you. It should be yours, for you. What's this kind of should be for you? So the month is for all of us. For me, for you, for them. Right? Could have just said HaChodesh HaZeh. Year Rosh Chodeshim, right? So what's Lachem? So there are many different pshatim. I heard a very nice one from Rav Shimshon Pinkus, Nichtalik Bracha, and he writes, HaChodesh Zeh Lachem, this month should be yours. What is a month? What's a Chodesh? Chodesh is B'lashon Hischadshus, and a renewal. Now in every month, right, it's day number 30, yesterday was day 30, today is day 31, or today is potentially day 1. And it's all dependent on all of us making a conscious decision that today is going to be a new month. A month of new habits, of new chedushim and Torah, of new hisaros on life. And it's up to us to decide whether today is just going to be a continuance of yesterday, day 31, same old, or whether we're going to make the hischadshus to make today day one of new habits, of new commitments, of new understandings. So he says this beautiful idea, you decide whether this month is going to be hischadshus or not. It's not automatic. And this concept really extends to a lot of different inyan, a lot of different aspects, and one of them is in learning. We find a lot of times, certain inyan maybe we've heard about since primary school, right? For example, the story of Purim. Right? The story is well known. Taught to us by Mora Chavi, or whatever Mora you want to include in there, right? Who's fresh out of seminary, and she teaches us the story. And amazing, inspiring, and subsequently, every time we hear the story, potentially we're already nodding our heads, saying, okay, another story about this inyan of the Megillah. Very well known, I know it already, right? And we're already potentially listening with half an ear. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yilchem tells you that today, and day 31, which is actually day 1, you're a new person than you were yesterday. If you listen to different stories and different Torah with a new perspective of today, it will be chadash, it will be new. There will be hischadshus. You'll connect to it in a way you didn't connect to yesterday. So I want to urge us, please, to look at this story in Purim and to commit to potentially seeing it today, the people that we are today. To listen with a fresh perspective, to try to really focus on what we're going to talk about. So, they say a nice story about Rav Nachum that when one of his Talmidim would come over, Rav Nachum from the Mir, and say a pshat, a ha'ara he had in the sugya, Rav Nachum would turn to him and say, a naya pshat, a new pshat. Heard from one of his Talmidim, what, you think Rav Nachum, the genius that he was, didn't think of all these pshatim from 18, 19, 20 year olds? The majority of them he did think of. So then what, he was just making them feel good, a naya pshat? No, he wanted to suggest that Rav Nachum challenged himself each time when he heard a bacher telling him Torah to try to think of it anew, as if he never learned it before. And Memela, when he did that, there was something new he connected to in the sugya. It didn't even have to be what the Talmud actually said. But maybe from the way he said it, from the way he came about it, there was something new he connected to in that way. So hopefully we can utilize this and try to think about it fresh. So we start, obviously, from the main mitzvah of the day, potentially, which is the Kriyas Megillah. Everything starts with the Kriyas Megillah. Asr to eat before Kriyas Megillah. Right? So, Memela Suda's Purim has to come afterwards. So, Kriyas Megillah is... Megillah is B'lashim Gila, Megala, right? And what's the Megillah, Megala? What does it reveal to us? It reveals to us the heading of the day, the focal point of the day. What's the focal point of the Megillah? What's the Megillah teaching us? The Megillah is teaching us that there is what we perceive to be happening out there in the world, and there's what's actually happening out there in the world. Right? There is the current events, the news, how you see it, how it's portrayed, how it's purported and given over in the news. And then there's introducing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the mix and what's actually going on. And I don't have time to get into all the examples because most of them are well known, but just to expound on one or two, right? The appointing of Haman to power, right? The biggest anti-Semite of the generation. And he's literally has power to the extent that people have to bow down to him. I mean, what could be worse in the eyes of the Jewish people? And then the appointing of, and the decree of Lahari Galabi, this Kol Yehudim, right? The final decree, and it's coming, the day is coming forward, you can't stop time. Terrible. But we know that these two inyanim, and there are many to recount, but I'm just cutting it short. These two inyanim, if Haman hadn't come to power, the Yeshua of the Yidin would have never been revealed, the tremendous salvation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought about. It was only because he was this important figure that it was in the news, that everybody knew the imminent destruction and the salvation that emerged. And we were able to be makabel the Torah of Ahava because of that. Would have never happened had Haman not become the man that he was. And we know that the decree Lahar Galabed, there is a strange law in Persia. Evidently, the king was not able to repeal a decree. Once a decree was made, it was final. Only thing that could happen was that the decree could be amended. It could be revised. Because of that, because there's a decree Lahar Galabed, the decree couldn't be repealed, so it had to be amended. What was it amended to? Have a day of killing the anti-Semites. Fantastic, right? Less evil people in the world. That would have never happened had there not been a decree Lahar Galabed Kol Yehudim. So even though it was a tremendous scare for the Jewish people at the time, but it brought about a tremendous good, a tremendous type. These are just two events to recount. So, I always like to say over a mashal. Someone walks in the middle of open heart surgery, and the surgeon is poised over the patient with a scalpel about to make the incision, and the guy who charges in there screams out at the surgeon, he says, "You murderer! Step away from that man!" And he points at everybody in the room and he says, "You're all guilty by association. How could you stand by while this scientist performs his sick experiment?" But we know, in fact, that the person who barged in is potentially the murderer. He's barging in the middle of a very sensitive procedure. And that you can imagine what the interruption could potentially do to the surgeon. A little slip of the hand, that's all it takes. We are that man. Kadosh Baruch Hu is weaving the different events, different current events, and events of the past century and before, to the ultimate Geula, Be'ez Hashem will be Bekarav. And we don't see it, but we barge in, in the middle of his procedure, and we expect to comprehend what he's doing. And we make judgments, we pass judgments. And this isn't just about big global events like the Holocaust or Rachmana Litzlan people in Yanam Achla. This is legabe personal events in our lives. When we're on the way to hopefully give a shir and our car is stuck up on a hill, and we pull up on the curb and somebody hits the car, right? And we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why? But the truth is can we hope to comprehend the acts of the Creator who created the world with a dibur? Do we even know what that means? We have no clue what that means. But for some reason, we expect to understand the day-to-day actions of Hashem and we pass judgments. The message of the Megillah is that there's a complex procedure going on here. And we're not going to have a clue sometimes about what's going on. But what we understand with clarity, what the Megillah reveals to us as we read a sequence of events that took years to unfold, that there is a plan and that it's ultimately bringing about our Yeshua. So let me address the question, because we don't have much time. Address the questions of Adal Yoda. Address the questions we're forgetting about Esther. Ultimately, the message of the Megillah is Gamzu L'Tayva. Right? Everything that happens in this world is good. Even that which we perceive to be bad, which in our mind we can't comprehend how it's good, it's good. And this is where Hachaj Zayil Lechem comes in, Rabbi Yisai. Because you know what? It's human nature. A lot of us are like, oh, this is a shmuz about Gamzul Taiva. Fantastic. We've heard all about it before, right? And maybe we're already listening with half an ear. But let me just to say something. Gamzul Taiva, do we even understand what that means? Gamzul Taiva is not just lip service. Gamzul Taiva, you have to mean it. It's not just something you say. Gamzul Taiva, this is good. That's a tremendously high level. For a second, I'm going to talk about Gamzul HaTeva. The Gemara brings down two stories. One of Nachmish Gamzu, very famous stories. He was a tremendous man of Betachon. He would always say Gamzul HaTeva. Fantastic. Okay. Next story is Rabbi Akiva, a less known story, but nevertheless, right, a well-known story, where Rabbi Akiva would say Komanda Avad Rachman al-Tavavid. He would change the wording slightly, same theme, which is that it's good, right? But changes the girsa. Now, interesting to note, when the Torah brings it down, the Torah says when something challenging happens to a person should say, "Komanda Avad Rachman al-Tavavid." I know it's maybe not as catchy as Gamzul HaTeva, but that's what he says. Komanda Avad Rachman al-Tavavid, not Gamzul HaTeva. So what's pshat? What does one have over the other? And furthermore, we know that Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud, was a student of Nachmish Gamzu. So, why did Rabbi Akiva change the wording from Gamzul HaTeva to Komanda Rachman HaTavavid? So let's think about this for 1 second. What does the word Gamzul HaTeva mean? Gamzul HaTeva means also this that's challenging, that I don't comprehend how it's good, but it is good. It's an assertion that even though my brain can't wrap around how it's good, it is good. Wow, okay. Very high level. Kol man de'ovid rachmano l'tavavid is potentially a more roundabout way. Kol man de'ovid rachmano, whatever Hashem does, l'tavavid, is for good, even though I don't comprehend how this that's currently happening to me is good. But memela, once I can connect that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'derech klal, in general, is good, is a meitiv, I'm able to cope now, even through a tzara, even through a hard time. Takes a lesser madrega. Koman davar rachman al-tavavid. Now, why did Rabbi Akiva bring it down to this lesser madrega? Rabbi Akiva was perhaps one of our greatest teachers of all time. But he wasn't on the level of Gamzul HaTeva. Heard once a pshat. I heard it on Purim. Someone said it over B'Shem Lamarsha. I searched for it. I never found it. It could be because it was Purim. He said something else. Or maybe he misquoted. B'Seder. But it's, I think, a chashev of art. He said over that Nachmish Gamzu was great. He was a great man in a certain area of Gamzul HaTeva, tremendous man of Betachon. Rabbi Akiva was the full package. Rabbi Akiva was the Gadol Hadar. And Rabbi Akiva knew that whatever he would say, the generation would emulate. The generation would try to copy, to attain that Madrega. Rabbi Akiva knew, even though he was on the Madrega of Gamzul HaTeva, Gamzul HaTeva is a very high Madrega. He felt that Koman Davar Rachman al-Tavavid was more attainable for the average Yet. And that's why he chose Komanda Rachman al-Tavavid. However, and this is maybe where it went into his turn, he said that there's one day a year that is a day of Gamzul HaTeva, and that's the day of Purim. All year round, the max we can really connect to and actually mean what we're saying is Komanda Rachman al-Tavavid. We know the Bayer Olam is good, and even though there are tsaras, Parnassah is not great, right? The car, rough situation, or Rachman HaTzlan, something worse, the Holocaust, right? Yalam Achla, we can't comprehend how it's good, but we know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu in general is a meitiv, and therefore everything has to fall into the category of being taiv. That's what we can connect to. On Purim we can connect to Gamzul HaTeva. How? What's the magic serum? What's going on Purim? So here it is follows. Number one, the focal point of the day in the Megillah is Megala to us, Gamzul HaTeva. We see it over a 9, 14, 13 year event, depending on where you're counting from. Right? We see, we can connect the dots. I heard last night that's why, potentially one of the reasons, why we read the Megillah twice. Because the first time we read it, we're almost refreshing ourselves with information. But the second time we hear it, we then say, ah, that's why A happened. A happened because it had to lead to B. And B happened because it had to lead to C. C happened because it had to lead to Z. I had to say Z instead of Z, sorry. But in any event, right? Everything had to happen in that sequence so that we can get to the end of the game, to the Yeshua. Okay, It's a nice idea. Right? So I heard over that, number one, the Megillah reminds us of this Yesod. And therefore, obviously it's something that's built in to the Teichen of the day, which is it's a day of Gamzu L'Teva. However, it's still not enough. Gamzu L'Teva is still a very high Madriga. And it's not Pasha to connect to it. How do we connect to it? By drinking Adela Yada. What does it mean? What does it mean, Adela Yada? I used to ask my guys, these were 19, 20 year olds. I said, Rabbi, say, is Gamzu L'Teva a makam? Is it a place? Or is it an imakam? Is it a non-place? I think it's an important chakira. Right? Is it, I woke up the next morning and somebody told me all the events that happened. Memeo, I got to Gamzu L'Teva. Okay, I'm not sure what Gamzu L'Teva was, but if you fell out of commission, you were unconscious, you slept, or whatever it is, right? You fulfill an aspect of Adela Yada. Okay. Fi some shitas, maybe. Right? But I wanted to insist that Adela Yada is actually a place we're supposed to be connecting to. What's that place? So let's talk about Gamzu L'Teva. What's preventing us from connecting to Gamzu L'Teva all year round is our das, our seichel. Why? Because our seichel understands only up to a point. Right? Our seichel processes the information before us and passes judgment. There's only so much we're going to understand from the infinite, from HaKadosh Baruch. And therefore our seichel can't grasp that bad is good. It just doesn't compute. It's just as much as we say it, it's lip service. We do not connect to it on an emotional level. Because our das has our emotions on a string. Whenever we think, it leads to how we feel. And we can't connect to the fact that what's bad is good. What Adela Yada is that we're purposely drinking to loosen the hold that our das has over our emotions, our feelings, over our hargashas. And the more you drink, the more you weaken that hold that it has over you, and the more you're releasing the neshama which understands and connects to Gamzu L'Teva. The neshama knows it, but our das has a vice grip over it. It's just not going to happen during the year. What Adela Yada is a purposeful shutdown of certain faculties of the das, of the mind, to allow the neshama to soar free. I know it sounds like a floaty concept, but it's real. Anybody who's had an inspirational Purim knows this. But you don't get to Adela Yada by accident. I heard once from Rav Yitzchak Berkowitz Shlita in Yerushalayim, and he said the only way to get to Adela Yada is to raise your L'chaim to your tzaras. To say, L'chaim, Baruch Hashem, the car got stuck, somebody hit it, L'chaim, great, Gamzu L'Teva, and you drink. And your das is struggling the whole time with it. Your das is saying, whoa, makes no sense, you're crazy, you're drunk. You tell the das, no, that's not true. What's drunk? Drunk means that you have no clue what's going on. Das, you have no clue what's going on. You're drunk. I'm sober, the neshama says. Right? And that's the concept of Purim, which is to open up the sobriety of the neshama, allow the neshama to have control over the das for a day, to connect to Gamzu L'Teva. It doesn't happen by accident. You don't just drink and Memeila Adela Yada happens according to this pshat. You drink with direction. You drink with a purpose. And Mamela, at the conclusion of the day, if you drink to all the tzaras, to all the rough things, and you say the message of Megillah is Megal, that there is no tzara, that everything's fantastic and everything's great. I don't feel it yet, let's keep drinking. And that's what Adela Yada is. It's not Adela Yada, I have no clue what's going on, and therefore it's Mekayim the Mitzvah. Adela Yada is with direction, it takes us to a place, it raises us up, like all the mitzvahs that were given by the Torah, that were Metakeh, by Chazal, the Darabonon. It's all there for a purpose to help, to take us to the next step, to the right direction, to a certain milah that we are removed from all year round. And that's what we try to do on Purim, with Adela Yada. So to close, I think I only have 2-3 minutes. To answer your question, right? I made an appeal for Esther, right? Remember her sacrifice. It should be a solemn day. The answer is that Esther learned the message of the Megillah. Esther learned that even when you see a tzara and you feel the tzara and you can't connect to it day to day, But she was misaira, she was inspired by the story that happened over that 9-14 year period to realize there's no such thing as a tzara. Memela, she's told all of Klal Yisrael, it should be a day of unbridled joy. I am suffering. There's no such thing as suffering. Gamzul Taiva, that's the whole message of the day. She was overjoyed for Klal Yisrael to be besimcha, to teach us this Klal of Gamzul Taiva. Not just to say it out loud, but to feel it for a day. So Memela, it's not insensitive. This is exactly why we have Purim. A day to connect to this concept. Another question, in my haste I forgot to mention it, was that we know that one of the problems, one of the challenges that got us into the situation that we were in, of Lahar Gala Abed, was because we participated in the Suda Nesach HaShverish. So I wanted to say, Mamela should be a day of sobriety, right? Be metaking. Fix what you did wrong. So the answer is that the drunkenness on Purim is not just the drunkenness of chasar yediyah, of hefkeris, of vandalizing and damaging, right? That was never the point of Adliyada. The point is that the Bnei Yisrael are drunk in an inappropriate way, drunk at the wrong suda. The point is to have a Suda's Purim. Suda's Purim is completely different. It doesn't look anything like Suda's Achashverish, and if it does, it's not what Chazal are masakin. Suda's Purim is Adliyada. Weaken the das so that your neshama can connect to Gamzul HaTeva for a day, and that connection can take you through the whole year until next Purim. Like all Yomim Tovim, we connect to a concept to momentarily raise us up, and so that it can take us to next year. So Mamela, it's not a question. Because Chas V'Sham, the last thing we're trying to do is having another Suda Sechash Verish. It's completely different. And the third thing was, the third question was the question we had from the Rambam, which is, that everything, even v'samachta b'chagecha, was with a limit, was with a restraint, right? To keep people in control. And the teretz over here is you're right. But derech klal, das is beautiful. Seichel is necessary. The Torah requires us to be in control at all times. A moment of kas, a moment of frustration, we have to keep it under control in order to fulfill the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Torah requires of us. But Purim is a once-a-year opportunity to, little bit by little bit, weaken the das to connect to a tremendous madriga that we need all year round. Why? Because as the Mesillas Yesharim says, this world, we're not down here in this world for playing, for enjoyment. Just look around at the world. There's some very difficult, tragic things out there that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world for a good time, you can have tainas. But it's clear that we're in this world to work. We're in this world to toil. We're in this world to grow. But we need that one day a year where it all makes sense to us, where it all falls into place, where we feel emotionally comfortable with the trajectory of the world and our lives, and that only happens in Purim, where we have the opportunity to weaken the vice grip of the Das and to allow the Neshama to connect to this very special, special day of Gamzul HaTeva. Thank you everybody so much for coming, and Shkoyach, Rav Menachem David. Thank you.